Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation of Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearing sitting host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt, how is your weekend going? Little Sunday night recording today.
Yeah, no, we got the start of the Cherry Blossom Festival here. We got some cherry blossoms in Macon, Georgia, if you guys were unaware of it. We got quite a few cherry blossoms here. So we went to the pancake breakfast on Saturday, where the firefighters played the police officers. That they called it, what they called it?
Guns and Hoses.
Guns and Hoses.
Yeah,
and
that's like a normal thing. Like, I think every minor league park does that.
Okay, do they do it at the Macon Bacon Stadium?
No, they do it at whatever their minor league park is.
And the Guns won, and then they did a tug of war. The Guns won the tug of war too, so the Guns kicked them off looking pretty good this weekend. And then we went to the parade today, the Cherry Blossom Festival Parade, which is also kind of St. Patrick's Day today as well. So yes. I wasn't sure you're supposed to wear pink for cherry blossoms or green for St. Patrick's Day. A little confusing there. But other than that, all good.
I don't see any green on you right now.
No.
So.
I'm rocking the black and orange, babe. Rocking the we're what? A week away. I was looking at the schedule.
We have a week left of spring games.
We have one more pod before the start of the season after this. So,
yeah.
Next week will be our bowl prediction show.
Oh, no. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out, but you're right. Next episode's bowl predictions.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. So so that's why I'm rocking the black and orange.
All right.
Everybody's day.
And I'm not wearing green because you are the first person I've seen all day.
Okay.
So, in fact, I don't know, when's the last time that you have had your house to yourself?
I'm sure there was a time when that happened. I literally can't remember ever being in my house by myself.
I am at the same way with you. And here's what, and this is week has been spring break for the kids down here.
Yeah.
So Kelly and Owen and Kelly's mom went on a cruise on Thursday. They come back tomorrow. But that means that since I dropped them off Thursday morning, I have been by myself for 4 days, me and the dogs.
Yeah.
And I
cannot relate.
I don't know what to do with myself. Kelly told me to rest. So I have. I've watched like 4 movies. I've played a ton of MLB The Show since that just came out. I watched an entire season of Gold Rush. Like, I don't know what to do with myself. So then I'm just out in the garage cleaning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't just sit still. It's been too much time, like, to myself to relax.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
I know.
Josh. Oh, man. Josh. No. Oh, no. Too much time, you poor thing. Don't know what to do with yourself.
I don't. Like, I get it. Like, I can't remember ever having this, like, a time like this where it's like I have nothing to do and no responsibilities. So it's just been weird. I saw mom and dad yesterday for maybe 30 minutes, but that's only because I took the trailer over to store in their trailer storage. So it was because I was working and doing stuff around the house, cleaning up the trailer.
Yeah.
And that's about it. So
I can't relate. Emily worked all weekend. She's working tonight again. And my kids have been having trouble sleeping. And so now I live in fear of a baby crying at any moment. It's my worst nightmare. I was up since 4 a.m. with that baby, bless her heart, sweet thing. And so now I'm living in fear that's going to happen again.
Well,
glad you've had some time to yourself.
Yeah, I was up until 2 in the morning yesterday.
Yeah, playing the show.
No, I couldn't fall asleep because I took a nap around 6 o'clock and woke up around 10 o'clock.
I cannot
remember the naps and the rest and could have been and all this is like I find myself talking to the dogs because I'm all by myself. So I'm excited to do this tonight to talk to you and another person. And it falls in line with how our schedules work out this week anyway. So
yeah, I'm glad you can have some other human interaction. And I shouldn't complain because I've had a lot of kid time this weekend, but my wife is going to be stuck with the kids on Monday through Wednesday because I'm going to Maryland on a work trip on Monday through Wednesday. So I'll be essentially by myself for those 3 days.
Poor timing. You couldn't push that work trip out 3 weeks till the Orioles are up there?
Yeah, how would that work, Josh? How would a work trip work during opening day and then going to the next game?
No, but you push it to like the week after. Well, I'll tell you how it works. I am still going to work when I'm in Maryland for opening day.
Okay.
Because I work during the day and I go to baseball games at night. It's how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. There's an afternoon game for opening day. So
might want to mark that 3 o'clock on the
calendar. Yeah.
I will work on the plane.
All right.
Because I'm flying in Thursday morning. I think, and I will work late on Wednesday. So then I'll clock out early on Thursday. Right. I have a nice flexible schedule where I get to make my own schedule, which helps with like travel and baseball games and all that.
Yeah. And I have a lot of flexibility in the summer.
You do. You do. Works out well. We got to talk about some summer plans for going up and seeing the Orioles because I think I will be making multiple trips this year because how can you not with this team?
Yeah. I'm planning at least one long trip. So let's go from there.
Yeah. Let's have it overlap.
All right. Sounds good.
I'm going to probably just bring the camper up and work out of the camper for a week.
I've already checked out Airbnbs in Baltimore, so I think I'm going to go that route.
All right. Then maybe I'll...
If you want a shower, you can...
Maybe I'll join you. See, I was wondering...
An hour for a shower or something, maybe.
In Sarasota, they let me park the trailer right in the main parking lot. You think I can do that at Camden Yards?
I don't think that's going to work out.
There's all those porta-potties there.
Yeah.
I think I'll be good.
Just, all right, park and see what happens.
All right. On that same street parking that we always get, that free parking, you think I'll be safe sleeping there?
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
As long as you just got to watch out for the potholes, and then you'll be fine.
All right, right. I'm sure there'll be no one trying to jiggle my doors while I'm sleeping in the middle of the night.
No one's going
to
jiggle your door. No one will jiggle your door.
Right.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
All right. So. I spent all the pre-show just wrestling with this roster. So we're going to...
Me too.
The Orioles got to make a decision here soon. We're going to make a decision tonight on the podcast.
Yes.
Hopefully between the two of us, Josh and I can come up with 26 people that deserve and will make this roster. Josh, when you made your roster, were you doing it like based on what you think should happen or what you think will happen?
What I think will happen.
Is that the same?
It's the same. Because I'll give you a preview. Like if I was making this roster... Man, I would love to see Kobe Mayo make this team.
Right.
But when you look at all 60 people, it's not practical. Game. It doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So there's a balance of that where I couldn't really make the roster of what I like my dream roster. I had to look at it as what do I think the Orioles, what's our best option coming out of camp is how I looked at it.
All right, fine. But before we get there, this is, you know, true coconuts. True listeners of 336, this is their favorite episode of the year because they know it's time for me to do it. If you're just new to this show and just starting, you would no idea that this is an annual tradition on 336.
Is it this week? It's not next week?
For Matt's reading of the brackets. Special Sunday night show, so maybe this is the first time anyone's hearing a bracket.
No, I thought I could sneak this in by doing it on Sunday instead of Monday. You wouldn't have your bracket ready.
You should have done it a couple hours earlier. Everyone on every sports podcast this week is going to be telling you about their bracket. It's so it's literally the only week of the year that I don't listen to the Tony Kornheiser show because he just has everyone come up there and read their names. So before everyone else does it and bores you to death, let me do it. Start in the East bracket.
Go ahead and press your 15-second skip button right now.
UConn Huskies versus the Stetson. I don't know what they are. Are they the Cowboys? That sounds like a Stetson. You know, the cowboy hats. The Stetson cowboy hats. I got UConn, the number one seed, moving on. FAU versus Northwestern. I'm going to make Michael Wilbon happy here and go with Northwestern. San Diego State versus UAB. There's always a 12-5 upset, so I'm making all of my 12-5s upset.
I think we've had enough. UAB. That's good. We're good.
You want me to skip to my Final Four?
No, yes. Go to your Final Four champion.
Okay, well, you're missing some really good upsets within there, okay? But I'll skip ahead. And, you know, I'm showing some bias here. Being a Maryland fan, I bias towards the Big Ten. I'm going to go with Illinois representing the East. And then representing the West, I'm going to go with Arizona because they seem to always – I think I've watched two games of college basketball this year, so this is really informing. You guys should be taking these. And then in the
when I South,
I'm going with Marquette because they're always good, aren't they? Oh. And then I'm not going with Purdue in the Midwest because, you know, they always disappoint. So give me Kansas. Give me Gonzaga. I'm changing my bracket right now. And then who's going to win? I'll take Gonzaga. I know they're having a bit of a down year this year, or maybe they're not. I don't know. It just seems like a five seed is a bit of a down year for them. So give me Gonzaga to win it all. There you go. All right.
I'm going to go with the Auburn Tigers to win it all.
Okay.
I'll tell you, when I saw March Madness and Bracket All Talk today, and my big takeaway was, how did I miss all of college basketball season? It's like, oh, yeah, there's March Madness. I don't know if it was because the Ravens were so good or because I'm so hyped up for the Orioles. I missed all of college basketball.
No, it's because, and I've watched.
Or is it because I'm out of state?
No, it's because college basketball is not good anymore. Okay, I watched. All right. That's really why. I watched, I think, two college basketball games all year. I've been watching some more NBA now. I'm starting to get in the NBA now. But I've watched about three or four women's college basketball games. Because
I've seen the women's highlights because of that girl. That's
Caitlin amazing. Clark.
Yeah.
If Caitlin Clark is, if I'm at home and I notice Iowa's playing, which I'm not looking at, but like if I just notice that they're playing, I stop what I'm doing. I turn on Caitlin Clark. So she is much watch TV. There's no one in the men's game that makes me do that. And Maryland's having a down year. And frankly, Liberty had a down year and Mercer always has a down year. So there's been no teams that have really been that compelling to me. And so yeah, I've not been into college basketball really either at all. And I also think just the product is not as good as
I even was thinking of not even filling out a bracket this year.
Oh my.
I was like, I missed the whole thing. Do I really want to get in now?
Josh, I'm trying for the first time because no one in my office is super into basketball, but I'm gonna try to head up an office pool of the bracket. I'm gonna try to take charge of that.
I'll hop on with Glenn or Jeremy Kahn. One of them will be doing it, and I'll hop in with their brackets.
Yeah, but I got to be quick about it because I fly out tomorrow afternoon. So I have one morning to get everybody on board. Yeah,
one day.
Because I come back and...
That's where you do that you send that email tonight.
Yeah. I know, my boss never listened, but she sent me two emails this afternoon with me expecting responses.
Nope. My boss does that, but he sends text messages over the weekend.
Oh, I never get text messages.
And expects me to respond.
Yeah. So. I'll have them posted to my door, and I need to think of what to do for the winner. But yeah, no one else will do the bracket, so I'm going to try to run it this year.
Okay. Good luck.
All right. I'm glad I got that off my chest. A little bracketology here. If anybody wants to see my bracket.
Nobody wants to see your bracket. I can tell you that.
And I just, full disclosure, I haven't filled up a bracket. I just pulled up here the first time just for the show. not those names. Some surprise names on there, by the way. All right. So you want to just get into our rosters?
Yeah, let's get into the rosters.
All right. You want to start pitchers or position players first?
Let's start position players.
Oh, really?
Or how about we start with the obvious picks? Or you want to do pitching first?
Let's do pitching. I think the pitching's easy.
All right. The pitching's pretty straightforward. There's a few questions. A few guys I feel bad leaving off my pitching list.
Yeah, I got three bubble guys.
All right.
And I got three bubble guys for hitters.
I got three and four bubble guys.
In fact, I have six bubble guys for the roster because you can carry one extra pitcher, one extra position player, right? If you want to carry 12 pitchers or 13 pitchers.
Well, I saw Hyde came out today after the game and said he's going 13-13.
He's going 13-13?
Yes.
I had to set up for 12 pitchers and 14 position players. Okay, hold on. I got to make some adjustments.
He was asked about that at the game after the game today, which I was glad that I read that and highlighted that because I did that while and then adjusted my positions. Hyde said the club probably won't consider carrying 14 position players and only 12 pitchers opening day. We're going to need 13. I don't want to be shorthanded, is what he
said. I guess that's true. I was thinking with all the off days, maybe you could swing just 12 pitchers. But okay,
right, fine. Because I agree, because I also thought maybe I would do a rotation of four-man because of all the off days.
Right, and then you could have a swing man
who
could be a fifth starter or it could be your long man.
Correct, and that's how I originally looked at it.
We had the same guy for that.
Until I saw Hyde's comments, and then I said, nope, 13-13.
Right. I adjusted my roster, a bubble guy. This is a really good day if you're Brian Baker, if you're Baker, because you just got bumped up to the roster.
Baker's not even on my bubble.
Oh.
So let's get to it. Let's start with the rotation. Rotation's set. We have the same five guys, right?
Yes. Burns, Rodriguez, is number three Kramer?
Yes.
And then Wells and then Irvin.
Yeah, right? I've got Irvin and Wells flip-flopped.
Oh, my. You really like that fastball.
Well, right, I also really like Wells coming out of the pen. you don't buy it. I don't know.
I think Wells is the number four guy.
All right. Either way, it doesn't matter.
That's okay.
Yeah. All right, so now let's go to the relievers.
Yeah. All right.
Kimbrel, Cano,
Perez. Kimbrel is our closer, and Cano is our setup man.
Yeah, and then I've got Perez in there as right before Cano.
Okay, I got Perez or Coulomb.
Yep, I got Perez and Coulomb right there, one and two. All right, so that leaves four slots, if I'm counting this right. Four relievers. Who you got?
Yeah, I got Dylan Tate.
Me too.
I know he didn't pitch all last year, but he's apparently perfectly healthy this year and looked great in spring training. And he had a dominant year the year before last. So it seems to make sense that the spot's still open for him. So yeah, Dylan Tate. Now we got three guys left. This is the one guy who hasn't had a great spring training outside of Kimbrel. I know who has struggled a little bit. But I think based on his performance last year, he's earned his spot. And that's Webb. I've got
Webb in there as well.
Okay. And that leaves two guys. I got Mike Bauman.
I do not have Mike Bauman. He's on my bubble.
Okay. And then my other guy is Baker. So I got Bauman and Baker.
Isn't even on my bubble.
Okay. Who do you have the last two spots?
I have Aiken. Did you mention Aiken?
He's on my bubble.
Yeah. All right. I've got Aiken in the pen. And I've got Andrew Suarez.
Okay. He didn't even make my bubble.
Yeah. He's a late addition. So he's not on my bubble. I have Bauman and I've got Zimmerman and Terahan. Those are my bubble guys.
Okay. I didn't include any of those guys in my bubble.
I don't think
any of those guys really have a shot.
All right.
Who's the only other guy I have in my bubble, and I don't think he's that seriously on the bubble, is Nick Vespe.
Oh, I somehow missed Vespe, but I like Vespe a lot.
I like Vespe a lot too.
His brother's killing it down at UCF.
Is he?
Yeah. We're doing really well.
That's great. So
I forgot about Vespe and I forgot about Baker when I made my list. So that's interesting.
Baker's having a really good spring training.
He is. So I don't know. I also don't trust Dylan Tate. And he's in there. But I don't like him in there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I feel like Baker, everyone got so irritated by Baker last year.
Oh, it's in the playoffs, too.
And in the playoffs, he pitched poorly.
Well, and in the playoffs, we thought he probably shouldn't even been in the playoffs. He probably shouldn't have been on the roster. Somebody's on the roster. And then he struggled.
Yeah. Gives up the big dong. But Vespe, that is a tough one. Zimmerman, I have Zimmerman and Terahan on my bubble because I feel like they still think somehow these guys are going to help out the rotation. And I don't see them in the rotation. So I guess they're just depth down in Norfolk because they're starting pitchers. They're not really bullpen guys.
Yeah. That's what I see these guys as completely like. If there was an injury in the starting rotation during spring training,
you bring up these guys.
Yeah.
All right.
And now there's no need for them.
But then you've got Bauman in there where I have Suarez in there. That would be the big difference. And then Aiken.
Right. Yeah.
You don't see Aiken getting in there.
So,
yeah, I don't see Aiken get in there. I don't see Aiken either.
I mean, that's a good problem to have, though, that we have some decent pitchers in here.
Maybe. I mean, who are we talking about here? Like Baker, Bauman, Aiken, Vespi. I mean, we're talking about our sixth inning guy.
Yes. You're talking about long relief guys.
Right. Middle long relief.
Yep.
Not the back end of a bullpen.
All right. So we mostly agree with that.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's a few question marks. There's probably three pitching slots here to be juggled between 10 people.
Yeah. I think it's very likely, right, that Vespi, who I believe he has options, so he'll have some time. I think Aiken actually has an option, too.
I think Irvin might be the only pitcher without options.
I think Webb and Perez are also out of options.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I see them making the rotation or the roster. All right. You want to get to position players?
Yep. So we got 13 pitchers. Let's get to the position players.
All right.
Who do you have that's catching?
A really tough one. I ended up going with Adley and putting McCann on the bench.
Okay.
So I assume he matched.
No love for Silas Ardon here.
No, not yet. Not yet. I think that was the easiest out of all decisions.
No love for Samuel Basayo.
Samuel Basayo. He's not ready yet.
Okay.
So Josh, that was an easy decision.
Yeah.
And it matches yours.
Yeah. First base?
I got Mountcastle. All right. Second base?
Well, I got a first base platoon situation.
All right. I've got O'Hearn on my bench also.
Okay. Yeah. I got
that. Is that where you're going?
Yeah.
All right. Second base.
I have a little guy I like to call Jackson Holliday.
Oh, see, he's more on the bubble for me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I got him at second base as well.
Okay. Shortstop.
Rookie of the year guy, Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Gunnar Henderson, me too.
Third base, Jordan Westberg.
So what you're saying is you hate Kobe Mayo. Is that what you're saying here?
No. I love Kobe Mayo, but I think you're not going to rush him up because you have guys.
I have Westberg at third base too. So
all right.
We got our starting infield.
All right, good. So we match on that. I was questioning about third base. I thought you might go in a different direction, but I like Westberg there.
Yeah.
All right, so we already said that we have McCann and O'Hearn on our bench. Or I guess we got to go outfield.
Yeah, let's go outfield. The starting three are pretty simple. Hayes, Mullen, Santander. You have any issues with those three?
Nope.
All right, who do you get then, now? The fourth outfielder gets interesting.
Well, hold on.
All right.
Whether it's four outfielders get interesting, but really we're down to
three bench spots. Right, three bench spots.
For utility and outfielders and all that.
Yeah, so you add McCann to the bench, O'Hearn to the bench, and we have three more bench spots.
Right. And really, with everything we've gone over, it's only three spots left total in the whole roster.
Right. We got 23 men out of the 26.
Yep. Why has it got to be men?
We got 23 players out of the 26.
Right. All right.
Is there any locks that we didn't say yet?
Yes.
That you don't think this is even a...
Yes.
It's not even being debated by Elias.
I've got one.
Who's that lock?
Jorge Mateo.
You think he's a lock?
I think he's a lock.
There's zero chance they say we're not doing this with Mateo.
Zero chance. He's having a good spring. And today he was playing in the corner outfield. So they're trying to get him. Last year we saw him play some center field. Now he's in the corners. He is our super utility guy that can play anywhere. He is the Ryan Flaherty of this team. Plus the speed.
Yeah, but Ryan Flaherty, if he had 99 speed, that to me is what Mateo becomes such an interesting piece because...
Speed.
Because speed. Now he's too much of a streaky hitter, which is unfortunate, especially because Mateo seems like the kind of guy who needs to play every day to hit. I don't know if he can hit off the bench, like Flaherty hit off the bench.
No, Mateo's a guy that needs every day at bats in order to get a rhythm going.
But we also agree he shouldn't be getting those.
No, but you love that speed.
Yes.
Especially late in games.
Yes. And the fact that he can play multiple positions.
Yeah.
And with more practice, hopefully I know he made that. He did not look great in center field last year, but
yeah, but he's time out there. He could be a Gold Glove infielder
if he was an everyday player. Yeah, above average shortstop, yeah. No doubt.
So I think he'll get there.
I agree. And, so Mateo, and so now we're down to two spots.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is where it got a little tricky for me. So I went with Kyle Stowers. Now, it's because he's having a great spring, and that might also have been the fact that he hit three home runs today.
Yeah, the fact that we're doing this pod,
three at-bats.
Day, he had three home runs.
So it's really hard for me to not pencil Stowers in after today's performance. Did you have him on your bench?
He's on my bubble.
All right, he's on your bubble. Yeah. All right, then my other bench spot went to Colton Cowser, who is also having a great spring.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is he on your bench?
You have five outfielders.
I have one, two, three. I have Cowser. Yes, I have Cowsers and Stowers as outfield bench, and Mateo and O'Hearn as infield bench.
Yeah. Okay. I went with Arias, Ramon Arias.
Yeah.
Josh, and you don't have Arias?
I don't have Arias. No. I think you desperately try to trade your Arias this week.
Yeah, I don't think you will. I don't think you can.
In that case, it's tricky because you know if you designate him, someone's picking him up.
Right. I would imagine so.
So that's probably why you're putting him on your bench, to not lose him.
But you just say he's not on your bench.
He's not on my bench. I'm saying on your bench.
Yeah, he's on my bench for that reason.
I unfortunately am prepared to give up Urias.
Yeah. Here's my problem.
And I hate to do it.
Yeah. And the other guy that you don't mention, and so I have on my bench Arias, Mateo, Cowser, and then O'Hearn and McCann. Now,
so who do you hold on? So what's your bench?
Well, my last two guys, we have all the same, but my last two guys are Arias and Cowser.
Okay, so we agreed on Cowser. Okay. Yes. All right.
We only disagree on Stowers.
So I picked Stowers, you picked Arias.
Yes.
All right. Well, at least you didn't pick McKenna. Another guy out of options.
Yeah, I was tempted. You know, I was tempted. He hasn't had a great spring training, though.
I know he hasn't.
The guy who tempted me the most was not even Stowers, was Kerstad. He's the guy that was hardest for me to leave off.
He's having a rough spring.
He is.
So I didn't, and he's got plenty of options. So that's why I had no question about leaving. Kerstad's not even on my bubble. Even though I feel like he's proven enough in Norfolk.
Yeah, that's why I don't. If you're going with Kerstad, I'm saying this spring training is not a large enough sample size. Right. I'm not basing my decisions just on one spring training.
No, but I would put him in Norfolk and be like, all right, when you get hot, I'm pulling you up. But get your rhythm down in Norfolk. Because I don't think it does any good for Kerstad to sit on the bench 5 out of 7 days.
Yeah, and that's my argument with Stowers as well. Because I don't know where Stowers is going to play, Josh, because Cowser is a left-handed hitting outfielder. And so I just don't know where he's going to play. And so I'd rather have, and the same argument with Mayo. Like, I love Mayo to be here. I think Mayo would be an upgrade over Ramon Urias.
Yes.
But the problem is Ramon Urias is going to
not
be playing once or twice a week. I don't want Kobe Mayo to play once or twice a week.
Right.
And so I don't want my bench guy to be Kobe Mayo. I want Ramon Urias to be my bench guy. I want Kobe Mayo to play every day. So I'd rather have Mayo and Stowers and Kerstad, and Norfolk's going to be stacked, by the way. I'd rather have those guys playing every day in Norfolk than riding the bench.
See, I saw Stowers as a guy who I would slot in at DH.
Yeah.
And let him get every day at bats.
I just don't see how you have
room. But it gets tricky with O'Hearn as well.
Right, O'Hearn a lefty, Cowser's a lefty, Stowers a lefty. That gets a little bit tricky.
Yeah, it does.
Constructing a lineup.
It is. It's one of these bad problems to have.
Like, the other thing that at some point you got to start thinking about is, I know we talk about Stowers as a prospect. Kyle Stowers is 26.
Correct.
He's not 22. He's not Kobe Mayo here.
No, this would be his third season, I think, up with the Orioles.
Yeah, like he's been and kind we've of been knocking waiting on the door for a while now,
and we
he's
keep had a waiting cup of coffee for him to pop. Times. Right.
Yeah, and the same like now Heston Kerstedt is 25, but we all know he had a weird journey to the major leagues. So it's not apples to apples, but some of these older prospects in Norfolk, like they're not kids anymore. I mean, Jackson Holliday's a kid, Kobe Mayo's a kid. Honestly, Colton Cowser's 23. He's more of a kid.
It reminds me of when like a running back gets hurt and they're always like, he's 26, but he's got legs of a 24-year-old.
Yeah.
After a year off.
Yeah, but you're right. I just looked up. Kyle Stowers had his first cup of coffee in the major leagues in 2020.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right because that's what I remember him the past 2 years. So he probably came up September of that year previous, 2020, when things were real bad.
But in 4 years, has only played in 47 games. So it also has not been given an extended chance in the majors either.
And that's exactly. And that's where these bubble slots, these bubble boys, make it tricky because they're guys that you want to see have the opportunity, guys you want to see get a chance. And I just don't know how we fit them all in here.
Right, because when you're constructing a roster, you're not taking your 26 best hitters necessarily.
Who's the shortstop?
Positions for them. You're seeing who would be a good bench role, who would be a good everyday role, who would platoon well, lefty righty splits, positions. Like there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just give me the 26 most talented players. Because you're running that, you're running with Kobe Mayo and you're running with Heston Kerstedt. And you're getting rid of Ramon Urias, and you might be getting rid of someone else too. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe Mateo. You're getting rid of.
Right. Who was the shortstop we traded to the Brewers?
Joey Ortiz.
Because it reminds me a lot of Joey Ortiz. Because we talked a bunch about how Joey Ortiz is an everyday shortstop. Yeah. He could be major league. He's major league ready. He's ready for this. I feel like a lot of these bubble guys are that case. Stowers could play every day. Cowser could play every day. Urias, we know, can play every day. McKenna can play every day and has.
Oh man, you give me
Mateo, you can put in the infield every day. Like you can make a whole team of these bubble guys.
Yeah,
and they're gonna perform. They're not gonna win it all, but they're gonna beat the Marlins or something. Who's the bad team going in this season? Athletics. Rockies? The Athletics.
Athletics are still laughing stock. Let's not get it.
All right.
And if you give me a starting outfield of none of these guys are just gonna be starting for the Orioles. But if you give me a starting outfield of Kerstedt, Stowers, and Cowser, I got Cowser as my center fielder.
That's a Norfolk lineup.
But I'm good with that outfield. Like if that's my major league outfield, I'm feeling good.
Yes, as long as they perform. Yes,
I have confidence that they will perform. I bet they can put up above average numbers in the outfield compared to other outfields in the majors. Those three guys. So yeah, and right now, those are our 4, 5, and 6 outfielders.
Right.
Because we're rocking Hayes Mullins and Santander. The other thing that Cowser gets you, I think, more than Stowers, and I think this, I haven't watched enough of them to really know, but I think Cowser's better defensively, can play center field better than Cowser. So it gives you a little more flexibility. If Mullins continues to struggle, you can, play Cowser more in center. So that's why I like Cowser there. And then, Josh, I was just thinking, if you don't have Ramon Urias as a utility guy, like who's playing third base when Jordan Westberg needs a rest? I guess you get
Mateo. Henderson goes to third, Mateo goes to short.
Yeah. But do you want to do that? Right. If you had Ramon Urias and you want to get Westberg a break, you just put in Ramon Urias.
Correct.
You don't want to finagle with everybody else's positions.
But I think you want to see Henderson some at third because I think next season, Henderson moves to third and Holliday moves to short. I think that's what we're going to see in 2025. But you really can't change the position of the rookie of the year. You got to give him a chance to hold on to that position.
You think a little bit like a Manny Machado type situation where Manny Machado was brought up a third baseman. But Manny knew eventually the plan was for him to play shortstop.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
And Manny would have it no other way.
I also think shortstop would have it no other way. I think shortstop's also your captain out there on the field. And I'd rather have a veteran right there rather than a 19-year-old kid as the captain of that infield.
When I came here to Macon and I joined the men's league softball, I found out very quickly I went from being the top of the totem pole to the bottom of the totem pole. And being in the bottom of the totem pole here and being an old man and at the bottom, they put me at second base, which at first I thought was a little disrespectful because, you know, I've been always played shortstop.
Right.
And I thought a little disrespectful moving to second base because you don't always put your best softball players at second base.
Correct.
Do you think Jackson Holliday feels slighted that they're choosing to stick with Gunner? He is this number one pick overall. People just love this kid. And now they're saying, you can go over and play second base.
No,
it's the major. A little bit slighted?
No, it's the major leagues. And
I think Manny Machado felt slighted. Manny Machado said after the third base thing, when he first called, he said he wanted to play shortstop and nothing else.
Yeah, and what'd they do? Sign Hardy and move him back to third base.
Yeah, but then eventually they had the plan to move him to shortstop.
No, they didn't. They traded him off.
Yeah, but part of that discussion was he wanted to be the shortstop.
I don't think Holliday is the same as Manny Machado.
I'm not saying he is either. I think
personality-wise,
these guys that are highly touted, played shortstop their whole life. I bet Jackson Holliday would rather play shortstop.
I'm sure he would. But Manny played.
How long did Manny play shortstop for the Orioles? At least what? He played shortstop for the Orioles. Am I losing my mind?
Maybe a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it bothers Holliday as long as he makes the big league team.
Okay.
I think he's good. I think he's happy. I don't think he's going to be whining that he's not the shortstop. It's a little different than in Little League where I put the weaker players at second base. In the majors, you put them at second base, but there's still good players, and especially there's a lot of defense demands when you're playing second base at the big league level. You trying to look up how long Manny has played shortstop for the Orioles to prove me wrong?
No, I'm not trying to prove you wrong.
You're curious now.
I'm curious now. I'm saying because I know he started third base and played the majority of time towards the third base. I was thinking, did he play? And he played. So I guess in 2016 he split this time between shortstop and third base. Played 45 games at shortstop, and then 2017 played it all at third base, and then 2018, the year he was traded, he played it all at shortstop for the Orioles. 96 games only at shortstop, no other position. And that's the year he was traded.
So 1 year?
So yeah, just essentially just half a year, really.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought he was mostly a third baseman.
Yeah.
But
he was vocal about wanting to play shortstop.
He was. Yes. He was.
And Jackson Holliday at 19, and Manny Machado, when he was caught up at 19, he didn't say anything either. I don't think about being unhappy that he was not playing shortstop. He was just happy to get the call up.
Yeah, but I think Jackson Holliday's got more of a head on his shoulders and more of it sounds so mean to say head on your shoulders.
Yeah, Josh. Well, I tell you what, you better hope that Jackson Holliday has the type of career that Manny Machado has.
Yes, but I think he's more grounded. How about that? Is grounded a better word? Is there any bubble guys on your bubble that we haven't talked about?
No, I think, we both have Jackson Holliday getting in. And that's the big one. And if he doesn't get in, Josh, how surprised at this point? Because you can make an argument if you want to keep Ramon Urias on the team.
If maybe Holliday does,
you kick Holliday off.
Yeah, I could totally make arguments to keep 19. Holliday off the team.
Yeah.
But I think Holliday has shown enough in spring training to make this team. If he does not, people will freak out and say, oh, blame service time and all this crap.
Right, and they should, because Elias said he's been pretty clear, right? Am I making this up?
No, Elias has said it's his to lose, basically.
It's his to lose, yeah. Like, he has every chance of making the roster.
Yes.
If he plays well, and he's played well. But hard to make a case.
Yes. Oh, here's the case against it. Is remember when, how many times did Elias tell us, hey, if we make a push for the playoffs, I'll bring Adley up now.
Yeah.
And then
the year, like, we dropped him, you said that.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think the problem is that Holiday is legitimately your best option at second base right now. And not only, and it's not just a play for the future. It's a play, it's a move that makes your team better this year.
Yeah, and I think truly by a pretty good margin too.
This team, we won the AL East last year. And it wasn't a fluke, but it was early. No one was projecting that. Right. This year we're going in with big expectations.
Right.
And in order to hit those expectations, you want Holiday in this lineup on the field in from day one.
No, I completely agree. And we do have some question marks in the pitching department with the injuries to Bradish and Means being behind schedule.
Correct.
And so you need all the offensive firepower you can muster.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense to have Jackson Holiday penciled in there as your everyday second baseman.
Yeah. Here's the guys without options running into this. Jorge Mateo, Ramon Urias.
Yeah. Right. We talked about both of them.
Yeah. Mateo, we have one there. Urias is a tricky situation.
I have him on. You have him off. Sure. Yeah.
Nick Mattin.
Okay.
To be honest, I didn't even know who Nick Mattin was. And I've been playing a lot of MLB The Show this weekend. And they have him as like the starting second baseman.
Okay.
Or something. And I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. I'm like, is this a made up name because someone wouldn't sign the legal stuff? Next guy is Tyler Nevins.
By the way, zero chance Nick Mattin makes the
correct roster. Tyler Nevins, zero chance also.
He's had a really good spring training though.
I know.
Tyler Nevins. He's played really well. And I hope he clears waivers. And I hope he goes to
he's gonna
Norfolk. And
someone's gonna pick him up again.
Probably.
Probably the Tigers. Tigers will probably take him back.
Maybe we get some cash considerations out of it though.
And next we got Ryan McKenna. Those are our position players out of options.
Yeah. Highly unlikely that will someone pick up Ryan McKenna, Josh?
I don't think so. I think McKenna can sneak past. I think Ramon Urias is the only guy that really is a concern in that list.
Yeah.
And Mateo, but I see Mateo making the team.
I agree.
The relievers without options is Mike Bauman and Jacob Webb.
Okay. So Mike Bauman's got to make it.
Yeah, I think that. I should have read that before I made my roster because I would have put Bauman in and Suarez out.
Yeah, you got to kick Suarez out and put Bauman in.
And that's exactly what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. And then Webb's in too, even though he's not had a great spring training. Webb's in based on what he did last year and the fact that he's out of options.
Correct. Yeah. So be prepared to lose Ramon Urias, I would say. And you would say be prepared for Ramon to be on your team.
Yeah, I would say be prepared for Stowers to hit another three home runs in tomorrow's game and then to be sent to Norfolk. Be prepared for that.
Oh, yeah, I know. Is that why they pulled him after three at-bats today so he couldn't get the fourth home run?
I because they know they're going to send him down.
You know, he has the most home runs in all of baseball right now in spring training.
Yeah, and Kobe Mayo is in like the top –
yeah, you know, Kobe Mayo is popping there too. Correct.
Yeah. So
it's been a fun spring for the birds.
It has been. It has been a pretty fun spring, Josh. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, is there anyone who has been surprising you this spring by being bad? Besides Kerstedt. Kerstedt's the only one that it's been a disappointing year. When I looked at how with higher expectations. If you asked me January 15th, I would have said Kerstedt is there on opening day. He has downplayed himself off the team based on his performance this spring, in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. The, I mean, other guys, you can look at like more obvious guys. I know Corbin Burnes had a bad inning the other day.
He's had his last two starts have been pretty bad.
Yeah, and so you could say that. You could say he's working on stuff. The other guys,
they always say he's working on stuff. I think it was a cutter he was working on last week.
Yeah, you could also say Craig Kimbrell, who is not another veteran.
Right.
But I feel like the only guys who I can even believe a little bit that they're working on stuff is guys that have no chance to not make the team.
Yeah.
Right?
And
it's Burnes really... and Kimbrell both have zero chance to not make the team, and they both have done a dozen spring trainings.
Correct.
So I don't worry at all about either of those pitchers.
No,
I worry about Kimbrell as our closer, just because he's not, you know,
right,
Bautista. But I don't worry at all about Burns.
No, and it's also, we always hear the whole batters are ahead of pitchers, and it's pitchers first. Pitchers have been working out all off season, but they haven't faced batters. Now they're facing batters. So they're always working on something. So I know it's an excuse, but it's a legit excuse most of the time.
Yeah. And I was just, well, if you look up Corbin Burns's kind of minor league numbers, if you get really into it, the last 2 years, he's had ERAs in the fours during spring training. If you look at the spring training numbers, ERAs in the fours in spring training. So I don't think that's, and he's given up a bunch of home runs. So I don't think it's any indication of anything really.
Right. So you're saying nothing to worry about with him.
Zero. Okay. To worry about with Corbin Burns. He had a similar, if you look at kind of average hitting against his whip, the walks, innings, hits, innings pitched, kind of look at those numbers. He had a very similar year to what he did last spring training.
All right. Do you see Kerstad being up later in the year? Or did he blow it?
No. I think Kerstad's here by... I mean, I don't know when he's here by, but I think those bubble guys, Stowers for me,
is and Kerstad left or right-handed?
He's another lefty. That's Stowers, Kowser, Kerstad. There's a bunch of
lefties. That's where it gets tricky, because that means if you're bringing Kerstad up later in the year, you're sending Kowser, Stowers down.
Or at least he's taking at-bats from them, right? Like,
yeah.
You got to get these at-bats somewhere. Yes.
So, right. So he might be the bubble guy as far as if there's an injury, he's the guy coming up. But again, it's getting these guys into the lineups is tricky. Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's great to have a bunch of lefty power hitters, especially when you're playing in Camden Yards.
Yeah. It's almost like it was designed that way.
It's almost like they either drafted knowing how their field is set up, or
they just
was already in the system. Yes. They manipulated the field. To help out who was already in the system.
It sure is convenient.
Yeah. It's convenient. That's for sure. But Josh, to me, the biggest disappointment of this spring training has been kind of in you, Josh, to be honest.
In me? I'm your disappointment? Why am I your disappointment?
Well, I want to play a quick voicemail for you, if I may, Josh. I got this right after we recorded yesterday's show. Sorry to spring this on you.
I left you a voicemail. Who'd you get a voicemail from?
I got a voicemail from someone right after they listened to our podcast. And it's and you're in this. So
all right.
Listen to this.
Okay. I have a spring cleaning story to tell you. So give me a call when you
have. Oh, that's a real interesting voicemail.
So I thought it was one of the neatest stories of spring training day. Okay.
So what's the story that you didn't
mention? That's our dad calling. Yeah. You said you went to spring training with dad.
Yeah.
Our dad was there, and he said one of the coolest things happened, and you didn't share it. And he called me, and of course I called right back and said, oh, what is this cool story that Josh failed to share with me? And do you know what it is after hearing that voicemail?
No.
Oh, my God.
Something cool happened?
Yes, and we talk all the time in here, Josh. We waste so many stupid minutes of every episode talking about our stupid Little League teams, and he told me a story about Ryan O'Hearn. And Ryan O'Hearn was, you know, people were out there signing autographs, and Ryan O'Hearn was walking kind of weird, people signing autographs, and Ryan O'Hearn saw someone up in the stands, as my dad tells the story, an older gentleman, and Ryan O'Hearn tells them to kind of clear a path and wave this older gentleman down. Josh, is this story ringing a bell?
I was told this story recently. I was not there during this story.
Okay, I thought you were there. Dad implied that he was there and you were there.
No, Dad just told me the story recently.
Okay.
No, I was not there.
Ryan O'Hearn cleared the way, waved this guy down, told everyone to kind of step aside, and ended up talking to this older gentleman for a while. And apparently it was Ryan O'Hearn's Little League coach.
Yes.
He saw and recognized in the stands and caught him down and had a nice conversation.
Yes. Do you think that will ever happen to us?
Zero chance.
I don't know. I've got I've got one kid. I'm going to make sure to write his name down for in 20 years. See where he's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, zero chance, I think.
Yeah, zero chance. But well, there's always a chance. But no, that's a cool story about
it is.
The power of a little league coach right there and recognizing Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah.
And Ryan O'Hearn recognizing him.
Yeah, I just get excited if it's like a minor league player that we talked to on the podcast that's doing well, like a Jonah Heim or something.
Yeah.
And it's get excited for that because that family invested in us to teach someone baseball. And to be honest,
there's very few of those because we talked to a lot of guys and very few of them made it to the majors or had successful major league.
He's the most successful, I'd say, of the guys of the minors. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a cup of coffee. We talked to Tanner Scott in person.
Yeah, but
that's
true. Tanner Scott, DJ Stewart, not really.
No, I think is he still with the Mets? Maybe.
Yeah.
It's never really successful.
We interviewed a third guy on that same day at the Bay Sox.
Well, we talked a lot with Jeff Kemp.
Jeff Kemp. Yep.
Who again? Good minor league career. Never really made it to the majors.
And Murphy.
Alex Murphy.
Alex Murphy. We spent a lot of time with Alex Murphy.
The catcher who was drafted ahead of Jonah Heim.
Yep. Got a nice signing bonus.
And good friend for that signing bonus.
Yeah. Then got hurt.
Yeah.
Injury. Yeah. None of it. That's definitely one thing where you learn from this podcast because we've made connections with these guys right after they get drafted. And it's like we watch their progress and it shows you how hard it is to get to the majors.
Ridiculously hard. Yeah.
Like Jonah Heim did not get his opportunity until he got traded.
Yeah.
And now he's considered one of the best catchers in baseball.
Yeah. And so many players' careers get derailed with injuries before they even get here. I mean, you got to make it through years of staying healthy, grinding through single A, double A, triple A, and then hope there's an opening and a spot for you.
Yeah.
And then your freaking Kyle Stowers is 26 years old and he gets screwed just because there's two other left-handed hitting outfielders who are sitting right in front of you.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. It's interesting. If the Orioles did not trade Jonah Heim, would we have still drafted Adley Rutschman? And would we have had this weirdness of Adley Rutschman's ready to come up, but we've got Jonah Heim doing perfectly fine?
I mean, I think we would have. He was pretty clearly the number one. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. was the same draft, so it was between him and Bobby Witt. But yeah, it's interesting to kind of, you can play, kind of go down this road. Even the guy like who was recently traded, Joey Ortiz and DL Hall. Like, let's say, and I don't know what the Brewers' plans are. I should look into this. If DL Hall is set to make the rotation. But DL Hall would have never made the rotation here. It would have been very unlikely.
Yes.
Let's say DL Hall has a great year as a starter, and now people will view DL Hall as a starter, and he could have a great career and make a ton of money as a starter, as opposed to being our seventh or eighth inning kind of bullpen guy. And Joey Ortiz the same way, right? Like, we would be talking about Joey Ortiz probably, like, I would imagine that Joey Ortiz we'd be talking about as the starting shortstop at Norfolk.
Yes.
And now he has a chance to start. And the guy who did the guy we traded for, Cole Irvins, the shortstop, who has a chance to start for Oakland, and he had no shot to kind of be there with us. So yeah, trades, who you're with, kind of the luck of how the roster plays out, so many factors impacting a player's success.
Yeah, and Jonah Heim, we traded in 2016. So 8 years ago. Do you know who we traded for Jonah Heim?
Oh, man. I'm using you all over these trades, but it wasn't. And we traded him to Texas?
No, we did not.
Oh, we traded him to Oakland, didn't we?
No, we did not.
Who did we trade him to?
We traded him to Tampa Bay.
Oh, to Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So that's also the thing. You look at Jonah Heim, and it's like he's one of the best catchers, and we had him in our organization, but then we sent him to Tampa Bay. Then he went to Oakland. Then he went, no. Nope. Not a veteran infielder.
Not Tim Beckham.
It was not Tim Beckham. I think Tim Beckham was Tim Beckham's previous before that.
That's what I was thinking. Former infielders who played for Tampa Bay and the Orioles. All right. A veteran infielder from Tampa Bay.
Yep. Steve Pierce.
Okay. Infielder is a generous word for Steve Pierce.
Oh, yeah. We used him in the outfield also.
But yeah. First base, DH.
Yeah, first base is infield.
All right. I know. But when I think infield, I think of like, I don't know, shortstop, second base.
And you're disrespecting first base.
I have disrespect first base a little bit. I don't consider, like, when I think of Ryan Mountcastle, I think of him as a first baseman. I don't really think of him that much as an infielder. More of a first baseman.
All right. Yeah, you probably don't think of Adley as an infielder either.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
He's a catcher.
Right.
But everybody else, Holiday,
so basically, Gunner, Westberg, when you hear infield, you think second, short, and third.
Yeah, and I think if there's a guy who doesn't know how to play the infield, that's a first baseman.
All right, I got you. Yeah, now, I'm glad I now understand the definition of an infielder.
In your eyes,
because I believe the technical definition is any of those positions that are out of the outfield and not a pitcher.
But that's not – can I say I feel a little better about the Steve Pierce? Because Steve Pierce, I know – he had some good moments for us in those.
Yeah, he was an impact player.
In that 2012 to 2016 window, when things were fun again, he was a good player for us. And so it wasn't like
usually. We traded for him in, what did I say, 2016? He was in that back half. He was 2016 to like.
No, he was here before that.
Or then did we bring him back?
We must have brought him back.
We must have brought him back.
He was part of those 2012 to 2016. He was part of that.
All right. So then we must have brought him back.
We got to look at the history of Steve Pierce. Yeah, I know he's played for every team. I mean, he had that series, Josh, right, where he played for every team in the AL East. Isn't that a thing?
Yes, I believe that was him.
Let's see. Bounced around to every team in the AL East. That might have been that 2016 year, actually, where he played for every team in the AL East.
All right. Let's see. Maybe not. All right, in 2012, he played for the Orioles. Well, he started his career with Pittsburgh.
Right.
2007 to 2011 with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this is a great throwback to Steve Pierce episode.
Yeah, well, it's a little preview of the – you want to start doing a segment of where are they now?
Yeah, you see my notes. I think we should not forget people who got us through the rebuild.
Well, Steve Pierce is a great way to start it.
Sure.
So Steve Pierce was with the Orioles in 2012, with Houston in 2012, with the Yankees in 2012.
Yeah, this is a man with an impressive MLB reference transaction page.
Yeah, 13, 14, 15, he was with Baltimore.
Okay.
2016, he was with Tampa Bay, and then we traded for him, and he came back to Baltimore.
Okay, so he left for a minute, and then we brought him back.
Yep, he left for 60 games. 2017.
Which, by the way, we probably could have just assigned him instead of letting Tampa Bay sign him.
Correct.
We could have signed him and saved us trading Jonah Heim, but whatever. We'll let that go.
Right. 2017, he was with Toronto. 2018, he was with Toronto and with Boston. 2019, he was with Boston to finish his career out in the AL East.
Okay.
So he played.
And so he's currently a free agent.
Yeah. Yes, currently a free agent.
Or retired,
he's played his first 5 years in the National League with the Pirates, and then he jumped around the AL East with the slight 21 games in Houston. Other than that, he was an AL East guy.
Okay.
Did a little pitching for us, too, if I remember correctly.
That sounds about right, yeah. I feel like everyone did a little pitching in there in that time window.
On October 31st, 2019... Steve Pierce elected free agency. That's the last transaction he was on.
Okay.
That's unfortunate.
Well, I'm glad he got to elect it, sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, he elected free agency.
Yeah, and he decided since then to maintain his free agent status, I guess.
He finished his career on the 60-day injury list with lower back strain.
Okay.
So
after a long, really good career, though, I mean, what is he, like 35, 36 by the time that happened? Like he was been around for a while.
Yeah. I mean, he was in the majors for 13 years.
That's incredible.
What's it? 7 years and you get that little lifetime pass card?
Yeah, that sounds right. 7 years sounds right.
So yeah, no, 13 years is a great career.
Yeah. All right. Almost as long as we've been doing this podcast.
I know. I think Steve Pierce was ahead of us.
Yeah.
We're not at 13. I always get confused.
I know, Josh. I always like to throw this out.
You always try to throw it out. I try to keep.
We'll spend the rest of the episode.
I try to keep track of it.
Start.
No, you know what I do?
2012.
Now, you know what I always do? I do the episode number divided by 52. And that says 10.6 years. So that would mean that this is our 11th season, 12th season, something like that. And then I get confused because we took a week off here and there. And we started the show doing like two episodes a week. But we kept them the same number. We just called them purple and orange.
Sure.
So it gets confusing.
Sure. All right. Well, Josh, this is a we'll find out, right? I assume. I don't know when the exact cutoff date is for rosters, but they got to happen here within the next couple weeks because baseball starts.
The season starts in a couple weeks. We got one more week of spring games, so I assume it'll happen right after that. I think we're looking at a week from now.
Because I want to know the final roster before my bold predictions is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, our bold – normally we fluctuate that episode, and maybe we don't record on Monday. We record on Wednesday or something. To give us the absolute last second to make our bold predictions.
Yeah. And I kicked it with old school pencil and paper here to do my roster.
All right. I do the same thing. I just write it down on the iPad. It's the same thing. It's my handwriting.
Fair enough.
So, but yeah, bold predictions definitely is our next episode. And I've got some nice ones this year.
Oh, you got some nice ones.
Yeah. I got a good win total. I got some good awards. I'm happy with my bold predictions.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited because eventually one of my bold predictions will have to hit. And so if I just keep on saying stuff, eventually one of them will have to hit.
And I feel like
I'm due.
For 10 years, we've been doing bold predictions. And we're always positive. And Burke gives us a hard time for wearing orange color glasses into our bold predictions.
Steph Orioles going to win the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, exactly.
The Orioles are going to win the pennant.
And now we're finally at a point where it's like this stuff can actually happen.
Yeah, like and our guys are the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, right.
And no one would be shocked if we won the pennant. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like I don't.
So we got to go even bolder, Josh.
Even bolder. You're right. I got to make sure I have that sound effect ready for next week. Do I have it here? Oh, I do.
Time now for bold predictions. Time now.
Oh, it's loops. All right.
Yeah, I leave tomorrow for Baltimore. I haven't even started packing yet.
Then, yeah, you should probably pack. But you said you don't leave till the evening.
Afternoon.
You're good.
Afternoon, but I have work in the morning. I got my classes to teach.
Yeah, me too. I got to clean the house up a little bit tonight. Got to pick the wife up in the morning.
Yeah. You've been partying all week without her. You got to
all by myself. Yeah. Me and the dogs.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's get out of here. You can, join us for this season. It's going to be an awesome season.
Yeah.
Tell your friends about the podcast.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter and everything. I'm working out ways that we're going to be doing, at least I am. And Matt, I think you'll join me for at least some. I'm going to do some like stream watch parties, live stream while the game's going on.
I have an open mind towards that.
Yeah. We've got a new, what's the word? Collaboration partner. We've got a new partner.
Partner's a strong word.
I know. I know. I don't know if partner's the right
word. We can workshop the word a little bit.
But we've got a plan and think of like post game shows and stuff that we've done in the past. But more of a watch party during the game, maybe a little post game stuff that we're going to be coming out with soon. We'll have a app that we put you guys all to do it. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so you can follow and we'll be tweeting out about it or Xing out about it. Do you still say tweeting? I guess you can still say tweeting on X about it.
I get so tired of every time there's a news report about a tweet that they're like, so-and-so posted on X. The site formerly known as Twitter. It's like, why do we have to keep saying the site formerly known as Twitter?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. And I don't know. I know.
Well, and if you want to call it Twitter, just call it Twitter. Who cares?
And right. I don't care.
It's like if you change the name of Camden Yards. Talk about that. It's still Camden Yards. If you really are in love with the name Twitter, is you it, call it Twitter.
Is it still a retweet? Does Twitter still call it?
That's what I don't know. Like, did this change all the vocabulary tied with Twitter? Do I not tweet? Do I now X? Do I not retweet? Do I now re-X? I don't know.
I just Googled, is a tweet still a tweet? And it's and now it's tweets are called post. So it's okay. If you want to see my post on X, then you can go on over.
Yeah, we will post and I'll probably repost about all this stuff. And we're on all the other social media stuff too.
Yeah. Yep. I've been putting clips up on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and all that.
I know. I got to be careful what I say here because now you'll take a clip and you'll post it out of context. I was going to do a little riff on here about how much my kids are obnoxious, but then I was like, shoot, you're going to put that on a little clip, post social media, and then someone's going to grumble about how I'm a bad parent. Just like when you post that clip of me not tipping, they're like, oh, another middle-class rich white guy doesn't want to give money to other people or something.
Yeah, but at least it's not back when I like wished for some Steeler to get hurt and he almost died on the field.
Yeah, I wish we still had, we did the clips then.
Exactly.
I got a lot of
I got a lot of crap for that.
Yeah. I don't know. So those clips are funny. People react to just a clip out of a whole 60-minute episode.
Exactly. Whatever. But, check us out.
Yeah, check us out. Write us a review on iTunes. Get the season started off right with some strong review games on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, rather. And yeah, you can follow me on X at Section336. You can follow Josh on X.
At Josh Soroka and at Birdland Sports. And send me a message if you want to play the show because I suck and need people to play with.
All right. And if you suck, you can still play with Josh.
Yeah, I'm really bad at it. They changed the like angle that you hit the ball with, and I just can't hit the ball. It sucks. Like the camera angle's different.
All right. And you follow, I already said you can follow me.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.